This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody. Hello, and welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining us today. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we're here every week, and we talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and topical and local when we can. And today, of course, being around the holiday time, we thought it would be fun to talk about a program that somewhat relates to the holidays, but to bring you kind of up to date on some What do we want to call it? An institution here in Western New York, an iconic place that you may not be familiar with, but that has such a long history and is so integrated in the history of our Western New York area that it is, I think, interesting to find out how what is going on there aside from the holiday events. And when I tell you what place we're talking about, you're probably going to be laughing at me when I tell you this, but honestly, it is one of the most historic institutions in Western New York, and it is called Forest Lawn. Now, are you saying, oh my goodness, what is she talking about? Why is she telling us about a place where people go to be buried? And why is that a holiday story? Well, you're going to find out the answer. This is a puzzle. This is a quiz. So stay with us, because in the studio with us is Kathy Slade. And Kathy is the interpretive program director. I got that title right? At Forest Lawn, correct? I got all that right? And she is not only going to tell us all that why we're talking about Forest Lawn, but she's going to start out, welcome Kathy, by telling us what the heck interpretive program director means. Hi,
thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
So interpretive program director, so I do the fun stuff at the cemetery. I'm in charge of all the tours. So in the summertime, we have both walking tours and trolley tours through the cemetery. And in the wintertime, I run our It Was a Wonderful Life Christmas show.
Okay, well,
I also go out into the community. I talk about the cemetery. So I do kind of the historic end of things.
All right. So in other words, all year round, you are involved with telling people or letting the public know what the importance of the cemetery is.
Absolutely.
The Forest Lawn. Well, now here's your chance to tell us, because I think the people are saying they may not be aware of all the historical importance and all that goes on there. First of all, just going back to the history, how long has there been a Forest Lawn? And let's talk about a lot of the famous people that are buried there.
Sure. So Forest Lawn dates back all the way to 1848. So it's the first big, what we call a rural cemetery in the area. And we have a lot of historic people there. Probably our most famous is the 13th president, Millard Fillmore. He's buried there, as well as Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm, who was the first African-American to run for the Democratic nomination for president. We have Louise Bethune, the first professional female architect in the United States. We have Dorothy Goetz Berlin, wife of Irving Berlin. She's also in our Christmas show. We have a lot of really famous people. We also have a lot of famous art and architecture in the cemetery. It's really quite beautiful.
All right. Well, tell us about, we'll start with the last part first, the art,
sure.
The architecture and the art.
Sure. So we have probably one, I think it's absolutely spectacular monument called the Blocher Monument. And if anybody's ever been to Forest Lawn, you can't miss it. Once you go in the Delaware Avenue gates, there's three life-size Carrara marble statues of this family, and they're encased in glass. And it has a beautiful kind of tragic love story attached to it. So John and Elizabeth Blocher, they were wealthy. John made his money in the shoe business. He actually was the person who invented the shoe last, which is the sizes for the shoes.
Is it Blocher, B-L-O-C-K-E-R?
B-L-O-C-H-E-R, like okay. Blocher Homes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Which okay. Actually he's the benefactor of, the okay. Original benefactor.
All right, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So what's, I wanted to hear the love story.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So John and Elizabeth, they had lots of money, so they have a big, beautiful house in Buffalo, like all wealthy people at that time. And they have a son, and his name is Nelson. And Nelson's getting a little bit older, and he hasn't found any woman that catches his eye, and his parents are getting a little concerned, and they'd like him to marry. And so they're getting a little worried. They're pushing him, but he falls in love with Katie O'Sullivan, who is the housekeeper. And so his parents are like, no, 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 you can't marry him, you know, the help, you just can't. So he does, not. John does what any good parent does and sends his son on a business trip to Europe. And while Nelson's away, they fire Katie and deport her back to Ireland.
Well, this is terrible.
It's very tragic. So Nelson comes back and he's looking for his love and he bursts open the door, runs up the stairs. He wants to marry her and she's nowhere to be found. So his parents tell him what they've done, and he searches all over. He spends months looking for Katie, and he can't find her. And he falls gravely ill and is bedridden for a few months, and ultimately he passes away. Now, we always say he died of a broken heart. Yes, very tragic. So the monument is built. Really, his mom, Elizabeth, told her husband, you know, you need to build something befitting of our son and our love for him. And so this was really what a lot of money and a lot of guilt can build you. So he had these Carrara marble statues made from measurements and sketches that he drew and sent to Italy to have these carved. And it just immense amounts of money and a long time to build it. But it's absolutely beautiful.
And it is actually, now that you're talking about it, I remember it is very much as you enter Forest Lawn. And you can't miss it. And I think it's so great that there's this story behind it that we, our listeners probably didn't know, and I know, and it's pointing out just a little bit of how important the cemetery is to our history, you know. And also, there's people, not just the people that are buried there, which we will talk about in a second, but that have had a great impact. For example, that was a big family, in, as you pointed out, a wealthy family. There's other statues in areas, too, I know that are important. I've seen them.
Yes. Yes. So there's lots of people. So we talk about the famous people a lot, but there's also kind of the everyday people who have done extraordinary things. And we also like to tell those stories at Forest Lawn, too. And one of them that we actually featured in our Sunday in the Cemetery tours over the summer was Margaret St. John. And her house was the only house that was spared during the burning of Buffalo on December 30th of 1813. And she's a tough, gritty Buffalo woman. So we like to tell those stories as well.
Her house was spared. I think there is a landmark where the house was. Mm-hmm. I once took a tour. I think it was related to Forest Lawn. And they showed, it might have been like on Niagara Street or someplace downtown. It's still there.
Yeah, it would be in that area, yes.
Yeah. And are there any others we should know about?
Oh, there's so many. I always love the story of Dorothy Goetz Berlin. And if you come to the Christmas show, you'll hear a little bit of her story. But she was a Buffalo girl, and her brother Ray Goetz was a music producer, and he wrote music. He worked with all the great composers, and he was going to New York City to work with Irving Berlin. And his sister Dorothy caught wind of this, and she sang too. So she said, "You got to take me." So he took her to New York City. She meets Irving Berlin. They have a sit-down meeting, and she's talking. And the story goes that another woman enters the room and starts kind of humming scales. And Dorothy gets a little nervous and realizes it's not just kind of a sit-down interview, but it's actually an audition. So she sings, and the other woman sings. And the story goes that the other woman gets the song, but she got Irving Berlin. So he asked her out on a date.
And you know what's really always never ceases to amaze me, and I hope our listeners too, how many connections there are to so many world-famous people in Buffalo, whether it's a spouse or whether it's being born in this area, or not, I don't mean just Buffalo, you know, the Western New York area. And a lot of them, as you pointed out, are, well, I never even realized until recently about the connection with Irving Berlin. Now, what you've done is kind of made both in the It's a Wonderful Life and in the stories that you were talking about in the summer program, made these people come to life in some way, right? Mm-hmm. That's the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So We always say that we're where the memories live and the stories are told. So that's a kind of our mission at Forest Lawn. We don't want these people to ever be forgotten. So we tell their stories, and we hope that other people, you know, find joy in them. Some of them are tragic. Some of them are very happy. Some of them are kind of silly. But we're hoping that by telling these people's stories, that they can live another life. And that's really what Forest Lawn is about. It's about life and about memories. And these people were real, and they did really extraordinary things.
And made an impact, had a great impact here in Western New York. This is such a great subject for us to be talking about because, in our whole program on Target, we try to bring everything to life that's happening in Western New York, past and future. In case you just tuned in today, we're talking about definitely the past, but because we're talking to Kathy Slade, who is the interpretive program director at Forest Lawn. And now I wanted to let our listeners know about It Was a Wonderful Life. I keep, thinking if you say it wrong, It's a Wonderful Life, you're definitely going to be sued because we'll definitely. But It Was a Wonderful Life. What is the idea behind the program?
So It Was a Wonderful Life has been going on for over a decade now at Forest Lawn. It's kind of becoming a Buffalo tradition to go to at Christmas time. So the idea behind this is just a fun way to bring people together for the holidays, telling stories about Christmases past in Buffalo, singing some songs, and really getting people in the holiday spirit. So we tell the stories of several of our famous historical permanent residents. One of them...
Got that? Permanent residents? I got that.
They're permanent. They're not going anywhere. So we always talk about, a big theme throughout the show is the bells. And we do have the Oshai Memorial Bell at Forest Lawn that is our doorbell to Forest Lawn for our permanent residents. So every time a funeral enters Forest Lawn, that Oshai Memorial Bell rings to welcome home a new permanent resident. And our cast of permanent residents, for lack of a better term, really kind of bring that to light, that it's really a friendly, fun living place at Forest Lawn. And they have a great time talking about their stories. One of them that I think most people can connect with is Robert Adam. He's at Forest Lawn. He founded Adam, Meldrum, and Anderson Department Store, M&A's. I always want to put an S on Adam's name. And he talks about the Victorian Christmas windows in downtown Buffalo. And really, it gives you that warm, comforting feeling and really the nostalgia of Christmases past.
He talks about how what the idea behind it was and how it came to fruition and that kind of thing. They're so famous, and everybody, whenever they're reminiscing about Buffalo, I think especially about the holidays, everyone always talks about the windows that were. It always reminds me of like the windows in New York of Macy's or Saks. They always have Lord and Taylor's, all the big stores always have like animated windows and themes. I guess he came up with that here.
Yeah. So he talks about how it was really his grandson who instituted the windows, but he started the department store, and his grandson really brought it to where most people recognize with the animatronic elves and the just the beautiful Christmas displays and people going and window shopping on Main Street. And you hit the candy stores, you go out to dinner, you have some hot cocoa, you wait and you see Santa Claus in Niagara Square. So bringing all those memories back for people.
And there's some others which I think are interesting too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have another one she's near and dear to my heart is Mary Talbert. We always include her. And I went to UB, so I always had my history classes were in Talbert Hall, so I had to know about this woman. And she's an absolute powerhouse. She was a civil rights activist, and she fought a lot for women's rights as well. And she talks about the Michigan Avenue Baptist Church being full of people, full of life, the children laughing and singing and playing while they cooked big feasts for Christmas. And it just, the history and the stories, it just brings so much connection, I think, for people.
And also, you mentioned that there's music involved.
Yes. So we do a lot of Christmas songs. So we try and find a song that really pairs well with what kind of a story that these people are telling. So like Mary Talbert, for example, sings Mary, Did You Know? which is absolutely beautiful. Robert Adam sings Old Toy Trains, talking about the toy department in Amonase. We have a Civil War soldier who sings Not Peace on Earth. I can't think of it right now. But it's very, very poignant Civil War song. And they all come together. They sing Carol of the Bells with handbells. And we actually have an original song that was written for the show by Michael, the late, great Michael Haake, called It Was a Wonderful Life. And it's really quite a fun song.
When you mentioned, this is sort of backtracking, but the Forest Lawn Cemetery was founded in... Mm-hmm. Is so long ago. I don't know if it was during the Civil War or prior to or after.
Predates the Civil War.
Predates. So yeah. That's why there is such history.
Yes. So our cemetery was founded in 1849, but also we have permanent residents that passed away sooner than that. So you'll see on some of the gravestones, they'll say maybe 1820 or 1810. And how that came to be is a lot of the cemeteries that were downtown in Buffalo were actually moved to Forest Lawn. So when Buffalo was being a big bustling city, when the Erie Canal came through, all these cemeteries were kind of scattered throughout downtown. It's kind of prime real estate. So these cemeteries were then taken and moved to Forest Lawn. So we have veterans from every conflict America's ever been in at Forest Lawn. And we're really proud of that.
And which you should be. And not only that, but when you say they were scattered around and they were in downtown, I guess you should explain that at that point, Forest Lawn was far away, was outside of the city.
Correct,
that kind of,
yes.
You know, it was like, well, it still takes up a lot of land. But
right, yeah. So when the cemetery was founded by Charles Clark, he was a lawyer in Buffalo. He was looking to model it after Pierre Lachaise in Paris, which is the first of these rural cemeteries. And we think of Forest Lawn as being in the middle of the city now. But it really was a rural cemetery at the time. It was 2.5 miles outside of downtown Buffalo. And at that time, North Street really was the northern border of the city. So this was a full day adventure for most people to go out to the cemetery. They spent the whole day. It was actually one of the first park-like settings in Buffalo. We predate the Olmsted Park system.
Oh, there's pictures of people picnicking and spent, like you just pointed out, spending a day visiting, going there, visiting their loved ones, or just when it was first being built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with this rural cemetery movement, the idea was to build a cemetery for both the living and the dead. So a place you could go and visit, spend the day with your family. Charles Clark really wanted to have purposeful landscaping put in. Also statues. Red Jacket, the big statue at the Delaware Avenue Gate, is one of the first installations at Forest Lawn.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a big connection. Many years ago, and I wish I could remember the event. I wish Jean Gounard was here to tell me. Are you listening, Jean? We, the French, the Lille, and the French sister city, we came for a ceremony to see the relationship. There is a great relationship between France and Forest Lawn and Buffalo as well.
Yes, actually, about a month ago for Veterans Day, they actually rang the bell for the 100th anniversary of the end of the World War I for the armistice, which I think was really wonderful, kind of celebration of peace.
And when we came, I think we looked at, we saw Red Jacket, but also some people who were either French citizens or connected to France and who ended up here in Buffalo, in Forest Lawn. So it was really exciting. It's very exciting. We're talking about Forest Lawn today and the activities and the historical importance of it with Kathy Slade. As far as just before we get off talking about It Was a Wonderful Life, how does it actually, when and how does it take place? Do you go all around, walk around the cemetery for these people to talk to you, or is it all in one place? And how long does it go on?
Sure. So we have our permanent residents actually float into the chapel for the day.
Ah.
So the show takes place in our chapel at Forest Lawn, which you can follow from the Delaware Gate. If you follow the white line, it takes you down to the chapel. We run shows at 11 a.m. on Saturdays and 2 o'clock p.m. on Saturdays and 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. So 3 shows a weekend, and it runs all the way to December 30th.
Oh, good. I'm glad we're talking about it now, so people are going to have time to plan it. And how do they get tickets?
So you can go online to our website, which is forest-lawn.com, or you can give us a call at the Margaret L. Wendt Archive and Resource Center, and the number there is 332-2233.
This is not, as we talked about at the very top of the program, this is not the only activity, although it's an important one and a fun one, and we are relating to the holidays, but all year round there are similar activities, and I know one, like you mentioned, takes place in the summer, and it's sort of a similar idea where the residents come to life and talk to the people.
Yeah, so we have our signature trolley tour, which is our Sunday in the Cemetery trolley, and that runs from the middle of June to the middle of October. Every Sunday, we run three trolley tours. You get a historical overview of Forest Lawn, and you get to meet three or four of our famous permanent residents along the way, and they're absolutely a riot. They're a lot of fun, and if you're bringing people, don't tell them that the permanent residents come, because it's such a fun surprise for people on the trolley.
I imagine it would be if you don't know what to expect.
Yeah, we have other themed trolley tours. We have a Pan American tour, which we team up with the Buffalo History Museum for. We also have an All Right All Day tour, which we team up with the Martin House, Gray Cliff, the Boathouse, the Pumping Station at the Pierce Arrow Museum, and the Martin House, of course. And it's all things Frank Lloyd Wright. And you get to see them all in one day.
And at the, is there some connection with Forest Lawn and Frank Lloyd Wright?
Yes. So we have Frank Lloyd Wright's only funerary design, which is Blue Sky Mausoleum, which he designed originally for the Martin family. But because of the stock market crash, Darwin Martin ended up dying penniless. And this was never kind of realized. So in the early 2000s, Forest Lawn purchased the plans for Blue Sky Mausoleum and recreated it on the grounds at Forest Lawn. So it is open for the public for burial. There are 24 crypts in it. And it's really kind of a funky design if you see it. You don't think of it as a traditional mausoleum with four walls and a roof. So when Frank Lloyd Wright designed this, he told Darwin Martin, "There are no better walls I could provide for you than the green trees at Forest Lawn, and there's no better roof I could provide than the blue sky above." So that's why it's Blue Sky Mausoleum.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful sentiment. How big? Did we mention before how many acres? How big is Forest Lawn?
269
Maybe
acres.
Maybe we didn't. If anyone drives by or anyone knows where it is, you can see it's a good chunk of that part of the Delaware Avenue area.
Yeah, so originally it was just 80 acres when it was originally purchased, and then we expanded into our 269 acres, and we're landlocked now. But it's a massive, beautiful green space in the middle of the city.
We should tell our listeners, although they may have figured it out, that really the residents are not coming to life either in It Was a Wonderful Life or in the trolley tours or anything else. Are they the same actors or actresses or who? I mean, it's not giving away like Santa Claus, but we wanted to say, give some credit to the people who are doing these performances.
Yeah, so we really were so fortunate in Buffalo to have such a great pool of professional actors and actresses in our community, and we really pull a lot from that. And we're fortunate this year we have Chris Standard, who was a longtime member of the cast of It Was a Wonderful Life, stepped up this year to actually direct, and he stars in it, and he is Robert Adam. So he's doing a wonderful job. And we're really fortunate in Buffalo to have such a great professional actor and actress community.
Are they people who we would see if we went to the other theaters like Alleyway, which I always go to, or like Neil, I think, has done some, and Joyce, and, I could name Music Fair, all the little theaters. I think they, actors that you ordinarily could see in those roles, play these parts.
Right.
And do they alternate? I mean, it's not the same all the time, or
no? So we switch it up every year.
And how does it get written?
So It Was a Wonderful Life was originally written by Joe Demmerle for Forest Lawn, and it has had a few iterations over the years. So each director kind of puts their own stamp on it. And this year, we actually wrote two brand new characters, and Chris Standard actually wrote those characters.
Who are?
I'm giving away everything here. Charlotte Mulligan, who founded the 20th Century Club, and Agnes Ethel Tracy, who was really a great tragic actress, and she was once considered the most beautiful woman in America.
You know, it's amazing that we had all these people in Buffalo or with some connection to Buffalo or Western New York that are not household names, isn't it? So that's why this is so important and interesting for education-wise.
Right. These people, some of them were famous on a national level. Some of them were on a global level. And it's really great to know our local history because it really is rich and deep here in Buffalo.
Probably a lot of students, it might be like a field trip that people take. It must sound really strange if they come back and say, could I have a pass, Mom, tomorrow we're going to Forest Lawn? But on the other hand, you can see why it would be very important educationally about learning about our history here.
Yeah, and we do a lot of school tours in the spring and in the fall when the weather's nice around Buffalo. We get a lot of schools that come in from elementary all the way into high school that come. It's a great place to learn local history, and it's such a great pool of people that did all sorts of different things.
I'm so glad you have a collaboration with, for example, the Buffalo History Museum, which is also involved in education and the same kind of thing that you're doing in a different way. So it's good that you work together with these other institutions.
Oh, absolutely. I think collaboration is the key. And all of us arts and culturals really have to work together because if we pool our resources, we really have a lot of great stories to tell and a lot of good history to give to people.
I was going to say, you can say that again, but then you'd have to say the whole thing over again.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. We have been talking about Forest Lawn. And again, if you want either further information or you have until the end of December to see it, how again could we see It Was a Wonderful Life or any other information about Forest Lawn?
Sure. So our website's always a great place to start, and that's www.forest-lawn.com. Or you can call us at the Margaret L. Wendt Archive and Resource Center, which is the Visitor Center for Forest Lawn. And our number there is 332-2233.
Okay, thank you so much, Kathy. And we are looking forward to not only taking advantage of the activity for the holidays, but really knowing about Forest Lawn all year round and keeping it in mind because, as you said, it's one of our most important cultural institutions. Thank you for listening. Join us again next week on Target. Have a good week and goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.